Tanya Tate. I was just going around saying hello to some of you already, so hello to everybody else. I'm a blogger and a cosplayer, and my work is syndicated through First Comics News, and I'm looking forward to sharing some of my tips with you all today.
I'm Alan Kistler. I am kind of a geeky historian and a consultant, and I've done journalism in this field for a few years now for Newsarama, Comic Book Resources, Wired, and a bunch of other things. I wrote the unofficial Game of Thrones cookbook, and my book, Doctor Who in History, comes out in October.
Hi, I'm Heidi McDonald. I am the co-editor of Publishers Weekly Comics World, the graphic novels editor for Publishers Weekly. I'm also the editor-in-chief of The Beat at comicsbeat.com, and a longtime comics journalist. Like, before they even had the internet, I was writing about comics.
I feel really inadequate now. I'm Chris Thompson. I do the Pop Culture Hound and Orbiting Pod podcasts, which I highly recommend listening to, and I'm the token Australian on the panel.
My name is Holly Golightly. I'm creator, vice president of Broadsword Comics. I'm a comic book artist. I'm also in charge of doing all the promotion of our company.
Joshua Waldrop. I'm a long-time pop culture journalist, contributor to First Comic News and WorkingSnug.com, and representing M1W Entertainment, which specializes mostly in live professional wrestling events.
Woo! I'm J.C. Vaughn. I'm vice president of publishing for Gemstone Publishing, and I do the Scooping Hill newsletter.
My name is Brian Young. I'm the editor-in-chief of the Big Shiny Robot website. I write about comics for Huffington Post, and I cover Star Wars, some stuff for the official Star Wars blog. Woo! And some stuff coming out in Star Wars Insider that's really cool.
Hi, I'm Glenn Hellman, and I'm late. I'm one of the chief bottle washers and partners of ComicMix.com, also announced our new services, Comic Mix Pro Services, colorist for John Sable Freelance, and tech support for at least one site on for one other website on this panel.
So I mean, we're here basically because we wanted to help all of you. All day long, we report on what everyone does, and we give a lot of coverage to Marvel, we give a lot of coverage to DC, and they have big professional people who work on theirs, and most of you don't have sponsors for you, and so we want to know what type of challenges you have and what you need to help you understand and get you the coverage you want to get. So, hold on one second. We got Rich showing up late.
Oh, good. Now
No. You sit here now.
Yeah, come on. I had to sit on the end last year because I was late.
I made Glenn sit in the audience one time when he was late for one of our panels. It was very entertaining.
The thing is, though, I'm usually tall enough that I was at everybody's eye level. So
it didn't quite work as well as I hoped. It wasn't quite the punishment I'd intended.
Come on up, Rich. Who's this way?
There is a space.
No, how come
I'm just being a dick.
No one saved me a space last year. Just want to point that out.
Oh, thank you. Excellent.
Sorry, I'm just not like DC. Always painful.
Sorry. Hi, you want to do an introduction? Let people know who you are.
Hi, I'm Rich Johnson.
From Bleeding Light.
That's it.
From Bleeding Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so usually we spend a lot of time talking up here and we don't give enough time for questions, so we wanted to start off with what anyone had, hope they wanted to talk about. Anyone have any particular issues?
What is the best way or format to go about contacting all of you fine people about, you know, hey, I have something new, here's a PDF with some information. Is there a standard procedure or a best way to go about contacting you?
Bars.
Files are good. Actually, send me an email. Not a press release. Send me an email. Say, hi, Rich. Do you want to talk about this?
Could we just go? Why don't we just go down the line on this? Because I think every outlet should get their.
Oh, definitely.
I think they should definitely answer this. So, I'm sorry to jump in moderating, but.
Heidi, you spent your life jumping in moderating.
That's because we're. That's
well, I mean, it all depends. I mean, we'll take press releases, and if there's graphics with it and enough information, we're okay with that. We need to know when you're going to how much the price is going to be and information like that. But, I mean, that'll just get you like a local blurb, you know what I mean? I have people contact me on Facebook and talk to me about their product, and it's more, the more personal connection you can make, the more you can actually convince me what you're doing is really cool, the more I can convince readers what you're doing is really cool. And so, you know, it just, if you, the better, it, the more personal you make it, the better you're going to be.
I agree. You know, like, it seems vain, but if you know something about who or what you're pitching to, and like why it would specifically be of interest to the reporter or site that you're pitching to, I think that makes a huge difference. And also, you know, you have to keep in mind, I think it's important, not just, you know, do I have a comic that looks good or it sounds like a cool concept, but, you know, what would make an interesting story about it? Is there something that's specifically unique about what you're doing that, you know, you haven't seen anywhere else in sort of different angles for Italians and, you know, something that someone can work with? Or something maybe about you or the way you've done it or something in your biography that would make for an interesting story? I think those things are almost, if not just as important as the actual work you're doing, because, you know, in the end result, you know, what we want to do is write an article that's interesting for people to read, and something that could be the prettiest comic in the world could have a boring story behind it, depending on, you know, circumstances. So I think it's just, you know, how you can sort of make it specifically unique.
I can be much more vain than Albert can. Are you following us on Facebook?
Not currently.
Well, then why should if you're, to be horribly mean, if you're not paying attention to us, why should we pay attention to you?
That's totally
if you're looking to follow, you know, if you're looking to get coverage in any number of websites, show up in their comments section, show, you know, like them on Facebook, retweet something that they've done, show us that you're at least paying a little bit of attention, because we do pay attention to the fact that, oh, okay, this person, you know, we're familiar with this person, we're going to sit down and, you know, and promote them from there. Very specifically in our case, we do have a form, you know, you can just link through and contact us. Email is sometimes handy if you happen to know us, you know, and then we can sit down and go, oh, yeah, I met you in San Diego, you and 50,000 of your closest friends. But being able to sit down and put some sort of a connection is very, very helpful for that. You know, because sometimes email would just get caught in a spam filter. You have no, once a week I go through and look at all the press releases that my spam filter caught, and it's just kind of terrifying.
And for me, I think communication is the key. The way that I originally started, I was cosplaying, and it was actually San Diego 2010 when I first put on my costume. But from there on, I kind of like built up my blog just around Tanya. And I found by just reaching out to people, like simply by following somebody on Twitter, and you kind of like open up a communication line with them. You know, hey, someone might say, hey, thanks for following me. And, you know, you might click across and jump on and have a look at their work. You know, I get a lot of people that will retweet a lot of my stuff, and I do, like, look, and I click on, and I'm like, hey, thanks for retweeting that. And actually, just, like, a couple of people, this rich, I actually reached out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how we actually got to know each other at First Comic to News as well. Just by reaching out, just by, like, sending an email, sending a tweet, and just building up the relationships, really. That's where I'd say, I'll let them know about your work. That's in an easy-to-see form. Don't bombard them, don't badger them. And just make sure it's relevant to that particular website.
Yeah, I mean, specifically for Bleeding Cool, don't contact me on a Wednesday, New Comics Day, direct market stuff. I'm probably not going to read it. If you contact me in the morning on any day, as in like my time, UK time, so you know, 4 o'clock in the morning for you guys, if you contact me then, you're not going to have much competition for my attention, so I'm going to probably read it. For Bleeding Cool, again, we love on weekends, specifically to run stories about your work written by you, in your voice. It's those kind of stuff. Generally quite popular with the audience, just to hear creators talking about their work without any interviewers getting in the way. And we do run those, and if you contact me towards the end of the week, it can be up on Saturday and Sunday without a problem.
But dear God, don't make it sound like a press release. Because we get a lot of those,
yeah,
and it just comes across, and we're just like, you know, the sheer amount of time we have to spend rewriting it to take out all the exclamation points alone.
Yeah. It's amazing!
Yeah. It's amazing, it's Picard! It's like, come
yeah, don't use exclamation points.
But also, bleeding
seriously, don't use exclamation points.
That's what it means. Yeah. See, but Bleeding Cool is really easy. One way to implement professional things, the last big button on the front of Bleeding Cool that says submit a story, if you click on that, it goes into my inbox and it goes to gets to any spam filters or anything like that, and we can then start talking. But we do regularly and constantly run comic book stories about new comics from new creators and small press upwards, and we always will, but just not on a Wednesday. Also, not in the middle of con. If you send me a thing now, I'm not going to read it, and it's going to be, by the time I get around to it, be 400 emails deep, and I'm just going to miss it. I've already been getting press releases and contacts about other upcoming conventions. In fact, no, not in the middle of San Diego. Talk to me on Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, actually, Reed Pop just has been going around trying to, I made a comment to this, they're trying to badger artists to buy tables in Artist Alley, like, this week. They want everything closed, you know, yesterday or today, and all the people that they're trying to reach are busy here, which I just, is just dumb.
I don't really have much to add that hasn't been covered, other than if you send an email and it hasn't been responded to, feel free to send another one 2-3 weeks down the line. Don't act like, so you didn't answer my first email, so I'm sending it again. Just send another email. And you know, if it makes you feel better, maybe change some language, maybe look over, you know, did I pitch this right? And yeah, just if, as long as you keep friendly and are actually have something to say beyond, it's amazing. Yeah, yeah, and actually what Albert was saying, if this is something based on a personal experience, like I'm writing about a magician because I myself is a magician, add that in. You know, give an extra little touch of what is this beyond something you made up.
I'm actually loath to give any direct channel kind of advice because it soon becomes very overused. And I'm sorry, blonde lady.
Donna,
yes.
Tanya.
All right. Well, anyway, obviously I have no comprehension whatsoever. But she really touched on developing a relationship. You know, I used to say email me. Now I get too many emails. You know, then it was like, you know, post a comment. Now I get too many comments. Now it's like, you know, the Twitter thing, actually, I mean, when people start retweeting your stuff, I think that for a long time has been a way where you're like, oh, this person groks what I'm doing. And,
good
you know,
reference.
Who are them? Yeah. And, so I think the retweeting is probably something that gets my personal attention, and it's very much appreciated because, like I say, it's all about building a relationship. But, you know, as soon as you say that, then everybody starts retweeting you, which would be great. But, you know, I think we're all so attention-starved that you have to constantly keep reinventing yourself a little bit and how to get attention. But you know, I do eventually read all my email, and so... all the tips that everybody just gave, you know, personalizing it, know what the beat covers. And I think also a great graphic really does help. You know, if you put not a big, giant TIFF file, you know, not a 300 DPI TIFF file in your email, but a nice little JPEG or something that's embedded and shows me for a comic what it looks like, and then that catches my attention. And, if, you know, there's good art. I mean, it really is worth way more than 1,000 words. And, you know, that's something that will get me to go to the next level and investigate it more. But, you know, also sometimes people send no art, and I'm curious, and I look, and sometimes it's terrible. And you know, depending on my mood or what I feel like, sometimes I'll write back and I say, you know, I'd like this a lot better if it had better art. And then, you know, like one time I got into this whole argument with this guy about his art, and I was like, dude, you're doing it wrong.
I think the main thing that's coming through is that you need to do your research beforehand about who you're approaching, and then, yeah, everyone's a little bit vain, so appeal to their vanity. But the research angle is pretty key. Like, for me, doing a podcast, I give out an email address on the show that I want people to send submissions to. You know, so if you want to get my attention, I give this particular email address, which is different to all the other ones I use. So if you've listened to the show and actually paid attention, I can see it's come through that email and be like, oh, okay, this person gives a damn, and they're specifically approaching me, which is cool. The other thing in doing your research, I had one guy whose stuff was okay. It wasn't amazing, but what he did is he'd been listening, and I'd got these sketches of Superman because he's my favorite character, done by some friends of mine that are kind of big creators. And this guy made his own initiative, did me a Superman sketch, sent it along with a bunch of his work without any comment. But immediately I knew that he'd been paying attention and had obviously listened to me. And so even though I wasn't big on his stuff, I still at least gave him a shout out because this was a cool dude that was, you know, doing the legwork and actually trying. So you'll find that you can get a long way just by being a nice person and really doing the legwork.
I think I want to say something different.
Don't be kind.
No, I'm not. Because all of you are saying what you guys need. And I think what I could throw in here is if you'd like to promote yourself, just to promote on your own, like through Facebook or Twitter, you need to start gaining your audience. You need to have a personality to put out there, you know? What's your angle? What's your energy? And then your readers will start finding you through your own posts. I know that when I'm on Facebook, I'll see someone writing something, and it's like, I need to answer this person, or I need to know this person more. And if you put out your images out there, or a couple of interesting words, you know, you're sort of kind of throwing in the chum for people to come feed on your little morsels of ideas and foods and images. And of course that's what the people who are reporting want as well, but you have to remember your readers, your audience. You need to build that up as well. So that's what I have to offer.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk about it from the other side of the table, actually, not some, you know, who you can pitch to what I want, but as somebody who has done kind of both and had to find a way to get into the, you know, the people through projects that I was representing, is the biggest thing that helped me out was make the extra effort to make sure that your press release or whatever you're sending is as professional as possible. Your image is everything, and if you represent yourself as a professional, if it's just you with your creative project, you're going to be looked at as a professional. There's tons of people who hear press release, and you know, there's some people get intimidated by it. It's one of the easiest things in the world to put together correctly, and there's tons of things online, if you Google, that will show you a template, all the things that you need to do to put together a solid press release that will look just as good as anybody else's press release that's coming into our email boxes. You know, make sure to find your spell check button, because if any of us get an email submission and, you know, there's all kinds of misspells or whatever, then we're going to think, well, that's probably what your work's like. So just make sure to take the attention to detail and realize that as a creator, trying to get some attention to your project, you're no longer just a creator. You're an entrepreneur now. You're an individual small business. You're a creator. You're a publicist. You're a marketer. You're an entrepreneur. You're your own business. So make sure that every aspect of that you take as seriously and are as professional with as your creation.
Sort of echoing what everybody else has said, but I want to really concentrate on what Holly said. I've been on these panels before with Holly, and I've also interviewed her before. I follow her on Facebook. She has a consistent voice out there. It's the energy you get from what she sent here always comes across in her posts, and if you've heard her voice, you can hear the posts when you read them. It sounds like it's the same person. It's the same, but I mean it's the same person. Oh. It's you're representing your work or Jim's work, and you get the message out there with a consistent tone that is, while it's very lively and everything, it's very professional. And to me, that's, as somebody who's looking for stuff to cover and making the decisions between covering A or covering B or C or whatever, because there's always more things to cover, what gets your attention is the professionalism. And everybody here has a pet peeve. Mine's semicolons.
I love semicolons.
We also have things that appeal to us, and what everybody else has said about study, that, you know, send it to the appropriate site. don't just send a blanket thing. That's one of the hardest elements about social networking, is it requires not just sending stuff out, but it requires you to pay attention to what you're sending out and to whom you're sending it. And like I said, I sort of think that echoes what everybody else is saying. But more again to Holly's point of getting your own stuff out there first. Start without us. if you look at the comics market today, it's got to be a passion project to start, or it's not going to go.
Yay.
I would say, not because any of us are lazy, make it as easy for us as possible.
Also, we're lazy.
Yeah.
we're
overworked.
Everybody on this panel has about 1,000 things to do, and like Rich was saying, like we're all getting inundated with emails. If I get an email that makes a pitch from an angle that I can actually use, you know, every time somebody sends me something, they say, well, I'd really love to get this on Huffington Post. And unless it's huge or has a political angle, it's really hard for me to get it through there. And I tell people that. And if they can help me come up with an angle to cover their story, it makes it a lot easier for me to write that story. If they come up out of the blue with those angles. And again, it comes down to like research and paying attention. And you know, as far as like paying attention is like half the battle. And not just hey, San Diego Comic-Con is going on, but. Go to the website. Oh, he's written and posted like 4 stories today, and they just announced they're making a new Star Wars movie. Maybe today is not the best day to send him an email because we're all just swamped. You know?
But it is the best day to buy us a drink in the bar.
Yes.
Yeah, that's always the best.
So you've got different.
I like whiskey and scotch.
I'm a gin. I drink gin. I'm going to cooperate. How many of you are publishers? How many people in the room are publishers? How many of you are writers? Writers? Okay. How many are artists? Okay.
How many of you are kickstarting a project right now?
Okay.
Why are you doing it during, or have you been sending out emails for it, like the week leading up to San Diego?
Yes, actually. It's been out for about 2 weeks now. We were supposed to launch after San Diego Comic Con. The artist and writer got really nervous. He's a guy who works really hard on his art. He works more than part-time, but not quite full-time job. He goes to school. And he has no self-confidence. He's a good friend of mine. And build him up as I may, he gets nervous, and he punched the launch button ahead of time.
Game over, man. Game over.
Good idea, because right now you can be giving out little pamphlets. Go to our Kickstarter when you get home. I actually wanted to do a Kickstarter now for a plushy toy, but the toy manufacturer, I didn't trust them. It was going to be really cute, but I'm going to ask for my money back because I still haven't gotten the sample. But no, I thought that's a good idea to do it now. I mean, for a different kind of way of promoting.
I've been like just in the last 2 weeks, been so inundated with emails. I've probably gotten 20 Kickstarter. You know, I've got this Kickstarter going, and it's just like, not that I don't care. It's just like I don't have time for it right now, especially getting all my ducks in a row to get here.
I feel like Holly just touched on something though.
You do have to make some contact first and talk to the people. There are just too many Kickstarter projects for everyone to cover everything that's going on in Kickstarter.
Well, and not only that, it's also, you know, you're advertising your project so the people will give you money. You know, normally, or you're promoting your project. Sometimes this would require, you know, advertising, because that's basically what you're asking us to do. You're asking us to give you free advertising, which can go with, you know, which we may do, but in specific circumstances. And, you know, I actually say, you know, we try to follow our own advice. How many people have the San Diego souvenir book, the one that you got? Do you have it? Okay, you have it handy in there? Open up to page 137 for a second.
Seriously? Turn to your textbook. Put your pencil down.
No, bear with me, because you'll notice at page 137, there's an article in there about Sandman that I wrote.
Whoa! Oh.
And
that's called promotion right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, he's got it right up there. And you'll look at the end, and it says, at the, you know, Glenn Howman, author, so on and so forth, is here with Comic Mix Pro Services. That's promoting yourself and getting your stuff out. And, what, 100,000 copies of that are now out and a whole bunch of fans can do that because it wasn't about Comic Mix. It was about something else and making life easier for San Diego, giving them some free content to work with. Incidentally, I did it twice. There's also an article in there on page 173, the same damn thing.
You sneaky bastard.
But that's the sort of stuff that you have to do. If you want to promote stuff on our websites, write an article for us.
Write for SDCC.
Can I just check, what's the place of You don't even know. No. You phoned it in.
I think the indirect marketing thing is a really good angle. That's something I do a lot. Like, for 98% of my Huffington Post pieces have a link to buy my books. You know, and I sell a lot of books through just writing. You know, I did do all kinds of interviews and stuff there for Huffington Post, and I just put a link at the bottom that has nothing to do with it. And people think, oh, I like this guy. I like the questions he asked or how he wrote this up. I'm going to go check out his books. And obviously not everybody buys a book, but...
Quiz for the audience, though. I mean, how many of you publishers are carried by Diamond? Okay, so a couple. So most of you are trying to get to the, I mean, that's obviously why you're here, but I mean, to answer your question a little bit, it's like, I mean, I think everything we were talking about is kind of the lead time, you know, because you're still at a level where you've got to get your name of your publisher out there, you know? And I mean, I think once you get the name of your publisher out there a little bit more, you know, so people know that you exist, you're doing a book. I mean, I think that's kind of, I mean, Albert obviously right about that, what he's talking about, the lead time. But, I mean, you know, you have to establish your brand. I mean, we're all branding here. And what Glenn was just talking about with, you know, his bio line. I mean, he's branding his own comic mix and everything. So I mean, you have to take all of that into account also, just to follow that up.
Well, if you're right, so she's asking about what's the difference between sending a press release out for an item versus a book. And the basic thing is, if we're going to run something about a book, generally we'd like to know what the story is and maybe check it out. You know, whereas if you're writing a press release for like a lightsaber toy or something, like we can tell very quickly what that is.
Right.
Yeah. And who would like this and what we have to say about it, you know. If it's something like this is a new novel about, you know, how gravity can be used to affect time, like, well, is it satirical? Is it serious? Is it fiction? Like, what, well, we have to do a little more investigation. So that's why that automatically just takes a little more time.
The other thing I was just going to say in regard to lead time and stuff like that is, for me at least, it's important that you've actually done the stuff ahead of time. Like, I don't want a press release about what you're going to do. because right. if I don't know you, like the book's got to be done. It's the same as well. This is a pet peeve for me with Kickstarters, where someone that I don't know is essentially looking for funding for a book that's not done, so we can pay them to do it. You've got to have done this book already,
have
and
some
so
art.
Yeah, yes. by all means, have a couple of months lead time.
Yeah.
But you know, we need to be able to actually see stuff. So send us the book already. You know, find out if we want to have a look.
Also, just to be from my perspective, I'm flying to England on Monday. I actually need some content to go on Being and Cool while I'm in the air. So if you come on the lead time, if you get to be on Sunday night, I'm probably going to put it in advance. I'm probably going to run it on Monday. That pretty much anyone in this room who emails me on Sunday night to say I was at the panel, can you just send this on this book? I'm
going to
say yes.
Here.
I've got this Doctor Who history book.
Yeah. The email we will talk to me tonight, get something sorted. It's Monday morning, I'll line it up, put it in the air, it'll run on Being and Cool. So.
We should take another question.
Yes.
So my question is, which would you prefer, like an e-kit that has PDFs of the images, this is, I'm thinking of a graphic novel now, or would you prefer the actual physical product?
We prefer PDFs in most cases. Yeah. I mean, everyone else may have a different choice. But what ends up happening is that we'll get it in and we'll assign it to someone else. And it's easy just to transfer it as a PDF, where if it's a physical book and it's mailed in, it takes some time to mail it in. And if I'm mailing it from, you know, one place to another, you got more time in there. I'm not saying that we don't review.
I just want to add something from the other side of the table. I sometimes become very suspicious of someone who is a reviewer that wants free copies and sure. not a PDF. And I don't know who you are. Oh, yeah, send me some comic books. I'll write something on you. So that they're saying that, it kind of supports my suspicion.
The other thing is, don't send us an enormous PDF that we can't fit through our email. You know, if it's small enough, that's fine. If it's large, send us a link where we can download it. Send it through, you know, you send it or something like that. Because many times people have sent me something so large, I actually have to go to the server and delete the email just so the rest of my mail can come through.
Right.
And that's not a real pleasant experience. It's really coverage by deleting it.
And also, with that PDF, include one or two JPEGs, like the cover of the book, just because then we don't have to take the PDF apart if we actually want to run anything about
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah, if you want, again, just make it easy for us. You know, include a JPEG that we could just grab and pop right in there. Okay. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say, remove every impediment to us covering it.
Yes.
If you send, like you were talking about the large files clogging up your email, the same thing, or it's about having to take apart the PDF. This is something I get press releases all the time where I can't use what's sent, and I'm not going to cover it, even if I want to. I got other things to do.
Johnny.
As a reviewer, I like to review different products, and personally I prefer physical products. But for you guys, if you've got a product and you want someone to review it, then research the websites, research the individuals, the companies that you're targeting, and see, do they like that product? Have they reviewed other products that are similar? You know, and then if they have, then contact them. You know, it's that communication again. Reach out to them, tweet them, Facebook them. Hey, I've got a new product. This is my brand. This is what I'm building. Do you want to take a look at it? And they can either say yes or no. So for you, it's about building up your brand as well. If you've got something, there's a lot of your own personal platforms that you can use, as well as the Twitter and the Facebook, which is like everybody knows about that. There's other places, Instagram. And a good thing that I like to what personally I do, I have a YouTube channel. And on that channel, I don't know if any of you have seen, I do reviews. So I have products that get sent to me, and I'll like pull them out the box and take a look and do close-ups, and I'll say the things that I like about it, the things I don't like about it, and they go up, and a lot of people like them. And for me, if you've got a product, that's the best way to get out, is someone reviewing it and putting it out there.
This isn't a foolproof logic, but at this point, at least for me, it's rarer to get a print copy of something. So in specifically taking advantage of what you can do with a physical product you can't do in digital?
See, I've got both problems where, like, with PDFs, I prefer PDFs if I'm going to pass them on. But when I get PDFs to cover stuff myself, I'll forget about it because I've got, like, 40 of them on my computer. And so a physical copy actually sits on a stack with all the stuff I'm going through.
Yeah, I'm. If I get a physical copy from somebody I don't know, it kind of goes into this lost pile, you know, that eventually they'll find when I die. So, whereas, you know, PDFs I download to a folder, and then I review a lot more frequently. And so I'm much more amenable to PDF because I could just forward it to one of my reviewers or, you know, one of my writers, and you know, saves a tree.
I think it all comes down to asking us.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys find your audience? I'm a blogger, so. Facebook, which is annoying. How are some other avenues?
You had to be there at the dawn of blogging in my case.
I made an ass of myself on YouTube a few times.
You did not.
Yeah, the biggest thing is a point of view. Whatever that is, get your particular identity out there and just keep it promoting. You know, the sort of stuff I do is different from the sort of stuff Rich does, the sort of stuff from Heidi, and so on and so forth. Each of us have our own distinct identities. And in some ways, it's literally like going out and making friends with, you know, 1,000 people or 10,000 people. And how would you want to promote yourself to a whole bunch of people that you didn't know?
And I mean, just writing helps. I mean, I started writing a comic buyer's guide to promote my retail store. And I talked about a retailer's point of view, and I talked about what was coming on. And they had retail summits, and I went there and reported on when Image formed, and when Valiant, dating me, you know, to how long I've been doing this, when Valiant formed, and then Holly emailed me when Jim started, and I didn't know Holly when she first emailed me, and she you know, started a conversation, and we started covering forever, Holly and Jim. And so, it's just, the more you write, the more it goes. I've written for a lot of different places. And you just keep going.
The one thing I'd really recommend is try and do something that no one else is doing. Then offer your services to someone here on the panel to do it for them. Then wait till it gets popular enough that you can leave and stab us in the back. And that has worked for so many people.
And that's the Rich Johnston School of Business.
But
if we exploit you, then you exploit us. And it's a circle of life.
Aside from the old adage of content is key, too, which is just keep producing stuff on a regular basis so that, you know, people have a reason to tune in, avail yourself, like, look for creative ways to, you know, think outside the box as far as, you know, making yourself available to other, you know, people who do podcasts or college radio stations or things like that, because there are always outlets who are looking for people to talk to, looking for guests, and it gives you an opportunity to plug your blog and to talk about what your blog's about to get people interested in it.
Go ahead.
You started.
I was going to say, email people about stuff that you're doing. I've probably gotten in the last 2 years like 4 emails from Rich saying like, hey, did you see that we covered this on Bleeding Cool first when I did something on Huffington Post? No, I actually hadn't.
You dick.
I don't know how Rich has time to do his site because he's always looking at timestamps.
Get those emails.
Yeah, Rich and I have another panel at the end of the day. Come back for more of this lovely banter.
Let people know what you're doing.
And remember, the first million words of blogging are for practice. No, seriously, first million words.
Hold on, Bolly has some comment.
I got 3 words. Craft dressing guy. Work it.
Yeah.
That'll be your gimmick.
You know, real quick, I'm going to jump in here.
You haven't seen that? The craft salad dressing guy?
Check it out.
Google. Separated at birth.
You could be the craft dressing salad blogger guy.
I said good day, sir.
Just 2 things. One thing we haven't mentioned here, because I think most of you guys are writers or publishers, is Tumblr. You know, Tumblr is a huge way to get discovered and, you know, build yourself up and get followers, putting art on there. But it's kind of its own little law and its own little rules. Following up on what he was saying, also, I mean, even though we all love, I think everyone on this panel loves discovering the new thing. I mean, we all love to find something new that we like and can promote. I mean, that's you know, the best part of doing this, as far as I'm concerned. However, we're all our attention starved. We're very busy. So, like, you know, sometimes if I see an you know, area woman launches comics company story in a local paper somewhere, I'm like, oh, what is this? You know. So sometimes, I mean, even working, you know, traditional media first can help get you on our radar too, and be like, oh wow, this is somebody who's really got it together and you know, knows what they're doing. And I mean, for me personally, it really does come down to, like, if you have beautiful art, or, you know, something that just is so professional and well done, I mean, I'm going to be on your side right away. And if you also have show that you are professional in how you deal with others immediately, whether you have a blurb from someone, or there's no typos, there's no semicolons, or, you know, you've been covered in other media, then, you know, that shows me right away that, you know, this person is professional, they know what it takes, and this is someone I should pay attention to.
Yes, multi-part question here. I'm going into my 6 years as a publisher, and one of the things that I noticed is that I have established a brand. That brand is established in a particular region. It's kind of hard to get press outside of that region because it seems like when, let's say, this panel right here comes to the area of Comic-Con, especially the major city down from Chicago, when it comes down to season, evening, and everything like that, they focus mainly on the Main Street along with DC. Even though I have a booth right next to me at the show, and everybody's saying, you know, make a personal connection, this, that, and the other, I make myself available to the convention, I make myself available to the email. Product has been branded, but yet there's that distance. How do you close that distance? And then on top of that, what would be the best avenue to branch out from one region to make other regions understand that you're successfully branded? Maybe, you know, maybe try this instead of what you need.
Part of the thing is that you're never going to get the same coverage that DC and Marvel get, even though your booth is closer, because we're going to get more hits when we cover DC and Marvel, so we do have to cover everything that they do. What is your brand?
CGC Studios. We're based in Chicago, Illinois. I have been quoted several times in one particular website, which I'm not going to mention right now, because I don't want to single out any one.
He's talking about you, Rich.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing right now. This is part of what we're talking about, communication. Right now what you're telling me is what other people have talked about, or your comparison to other people. You haven't talked about your product, and I think that's one thing you got to really communicate. It's not, I'm doing something different than, you know, Marvel and DC. I'm not just talking about you right now. I'm talking about in general. Whatever you guys are promoting, it's not just I'm doing different than Marvel and DC. It's not just I got quoted in this. Well, what are they talking about? What are you presenting? What are you presenting to me? And Tanya is absolutely right also in terms of branching out. Like, email is one thing, but if you go to Twitter and you get into dialogue, and once you develop a fan base, don't just send out tweets of, this book is coming out. Put up questions. Put up something that's interactive. Like, what do you guys think about that last issue? That was wild, right? And get into a conversation. Like, by creating a conversation with fans, you increase the fact that they're going to talk to other people about how cool your product, your brand, you are.
And also, I would like, if you know, if you've been at this for any amount of time and you feel like you've reached this plateau, you know, and if you're really spinning your wheels, which kind of sounds like you are, and you know, again, this applies to everybody. I mean, sometimes it's time to ask for really honest feedback from your friends and to be ready for it too. I mean, maybe there's something about your branding that needs to be freshened up.
Should we rebrand?
Yeah, should you rebrand? And I mean, I was at Book Expo, and this booth, you know, they saw my Publishers Weekly booth, so, and they said, you know, what do you, why don't we get reviewed in Publishers Weekly? And I mean, their stuff looked horrible. I mean, I was walking around with it, showing it to other people, and I said, you asked me, I'm going to be frank with you, you need to upgrade this. I mean, look what's around you, you know, you have terrible graphics, you guys are fine, but I'm just saying, you know, you got to ask questions. And they were like, oh, well, they did not want to hear it. You know, they had asked somebody's opinion, and it was really obvious, and they didn't listen to it. So, I mean, you know, ask for some honest feedback, because it just sounds like you need to kind of freshen it up a little bit if you're just getting, you know, stuck in the same way, and just look at what it is that your brand you know, needs to be, like, you know, sometimes you just got to change the curtains a little bit, you know? Like it gives a whole new look.
An effective thing you can do, too, is try to create your own headline. And what I mean by that is, like, I think everybody on this panel knows Sam Humphries. Wrote his own independent comic and then did the legwork of calling comic shops himself directly and getting, like, a small amount of his comic into each comic shop. And because he did it that way and did a limited print run, he was able to sell out of them. So now the headline didn't become, hey, I have a book. It became, hey, I have a book that's sold out through, you know, comic stores in Northern California or whatnot. So, and that's more attention-grabbing, you know. So it might take a little more bulldogging, you know, calling people directly, doing the legwork yourself. But in the end, you'll have something that'll, you know, make your brand and your image seem, you know, higher than maybe it is or more impressive in the eyes of the people you're trying to get their attention.
It also happened to be a comic book about Judge Dredd having sex with a dog.
That's incidental.
Yeah, that had nothing.
Incidental.
We've been looking for that book for a long time.
Got us a good headline.
It's all about you know, what makes what you're doing unique, what makes it relevant, what makes it interesting. You know, it's not just enough.
What makes it fun?
To do comics. It really, I mean, you know, I mean, just because someone's doing comics doesn't guarantee them coverage. It has to be something that, you know, could be something that people want to know about, you know? And I'm not saying yours is not, I have no idea.
think about it. We do a lot of search engine marketing and search engine optimization. And the type of stories that it sounds like you generate are scrappy Chicago publisher competes with big boys, which is great when people are looking for Chicago publishers and looking for stories that are regional to that area. But when you get out into the larger world, you know, if First Comics or Avatar, you know, or Avatar Press just kept with scrappy Chicago publisher, you know, competes, that's fine. You know, they wouldn't have expanded into that larger market. So take a look at what those guys did.
Yeah, don't worry about the physical geography so much. That really shouldn't matter in this state. I mean, he's going to England on Monday. And needs reading material. And, you know, like, I've been doing enough conventions and enough press and different and showing up in different videos. A lot of my friends now think I live in L.A. I don't. I live in New York. But I do enough business out here because it doesn't matter. I have Wi-Fi.
The other thing is you can always reinvent yourself with new people as well. Like,
yes.
I wasn't familiar with your stuff at all, but I've just got this impression that you're a regional publisher. Based on what you said to us. So, to me, I've now got a mindset that you've actually given, which you're saying is what other people have, but you gave it to me. Otherwise, I didn't know you from Adam, so you could have sold yourself to me however the hell you wanted. But, unfortunately, it wasn't the best first sales pitch, necessarily, if that makes sense.
Own your narrative.
But, I mean, you know, I mean, just the fact you've been doing it for so long is really praiseworthy, you know?
Absolutely.
And you know, we all have those times where we're just like, damn, what do I got to do, you know? And, I mean, when you plateau like that, you know, I mean, it's great to be part of this club, but, you know, just you know, rewrite, like they're all saying, rewrite your narrative a little bit and come out swinging with it, you know? So
accentuate the positive. Deep dish, pizza, and you.
Yes.
Two things to go to.
Yeah.
1 minute
left, so let's take one last question real quick.
I'd be a fool to not speak up and
I already liked it. All right, I'm interested already.
Yeah. We had a lot of trouble, though. We haven't had enough trouble. We were, two quick points. I'm not sure that it matters that much for us. We do really well. We sell a lot of books.
Okay.
We were on Boing Boing, and we saw a blip on the radar. And so I'd like for you guys to convince me that it matters. But also, we don't know where to go with kids' comics. It seems like everywhere has got blood or boobs or muscles.
But that's exactly where you go then, because the market is oversaturated with everything trying to be Wolverine and Batman right now. And I personally keep getting emails and people asking on Twitter, like from there are blogs out there like Moms Reads Comics and Geek Girl Con, who are looking for all ages stories and really are hungry for all ages stories.
All ages is the fastest growing segment of comics right now. If you look at the bookstores, they're blowing up.
Yeah,
so you're in the right place for the right time.
Go downstairs, talk to Comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ask them.
Don't look at it as a blip,
necessarily. Look at it long term, that people are going to be finding that article, even if it's like
one, two, three, four, five people a week over the next 10 years finding that article, it's there. There's no audience too small if it's on the internet, has your name attached to it. And, you know, Google will keep all of that forever. So when they're looking you up and you've got it on all of these websites.
We raised our shippers. We thought it was going to be a snowball
effect.
It's exponential, but it does take a very long time. You know, if your growth doubles, you know, every month, you know, a year ago you were down to nothing.
We gotta stop.
Except for Chris and I, who have to stay for the next panel,
and all of you
in the hall.